Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RadioDYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
And we are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing, and we are back after a exciting weekend.
Yes, what a race. Just all kinds of ups and downs going on in Spa.
Well, Spa is I'm not going to say it's my favorite, but it's my favorite.
It's always been your favorite. You know,
it is my favorite. Yeah. It didn't rain as much in Spa this year, which was, you know, muy sad, but there was so much other drama. We didn't even need rain.
We didn't need a single drop. We got rain in qualies, and it was weird. I did think it was very odd. We woke up Sunday morning, and it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
So sunny. Nobody needed to be under their little canopy umbrella thingies that they were stuck in all weekend. And I'm like, we're not going to get any rain on race day in Spa.
And we didn't even get any, like, of the really fun garage mechanic rain content on social media that we usually get at Spa. You know, that was a thing of the past. And also I can't start the episode without mentioning this. We will discuss it in more detail later in the news and notes where it belongs, but we can't even begin to talk about this race until we can at least acknowledge that, thank the Lord, thank Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that Carlos Sainz has made a decision. We can discuss that decision later, but I just need to let everyone know that that weight has finally been lifted off of our shoulders.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos.
I do feel like you might have been the one to really push him over the edge. Like, Carlos, it's time. It's time to make a decision.
It's time.
You can't be summer break, unclear about what you're going to do. Just make a decision.
Thankfully, he did not leave us waiting so long. So we will discuss Carlos Sainz's move to Williams, which was not entirely unexpected, after we recap this race.
Sounds good.
So let's talk Spa.
Spa.
Yes. Man, it seemed like it was all sunny and then poor.
All ups, never downs until
the ultimate down, the hammer drop. Honestly, it was hammer time, but like the hammer did not come from Lewis Hamilton.
It did not.
The rule book.
The race itself wasn't the most exciting.
I thought it was so good. What?
It was good. We did have battles. We did have some racing. I just felt like I was expecting a little bit more from Spa. And again, as someone who does not like rain on race day, I think I was just a little bit let down that I wasn't getting any like drama from the track.
Spa, wait, what? I am blown away by this. I thought this race was wildly exciting from start to finish.
Okay, well, share with the group.
I don't know if it's because I was really locked in on it, because don't do this at home, kids, but I'm coming to you live from the wild and wonderful West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia. And I say that because I watched the race while driving. On early Sunday morning. Do not recommend doing that. I mean, I have it, like, I wasn't watching it the whole time. Like, I was, you know, it was in the background through the car ride. But I thought it was wildly compelling. I don't know if it's maybe because I was locked in, maybe because I was, you know, also on a journey. But I thought the race was, like, I thought this was the peak strategic race. Like, this was strategy and tire management and at its finest. And I feel like we haven't had a race where it's just been full strategery. It was exciting. It was all about the mental game, not like, I mean, there was racing on the track, but.
Yeah, I think I wanted to see more like wheel-to-wheel combat. I wanted to see more racing between cars, not strategizing how we were going to beat people, because this really was like everybody was trying to undercut everybody on this track, which I was like, okay, I get it. You know, are you going to do a one step or is it a two stepper? Like some people were like, maybe I'll go for three. Like what is it, the hards? Be like, we don't know. Like this is a different vibe here at Spa when there's no rain. So I think a lot of people were a little like, what are we going to do? But it was very interesting to see how the teams or how teammates were trying to race each other this entire.
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, I really enjoyed this race. I think this was my favorite race of the season. I mean, again, I love Spa, but I thought this race was awesome. I also love the names of all the corners in this race, and I like to listen to Crofty say them all. So maybe I was just like lulled into that, but I thought this race was so interesting. I thought it was like the whole, well, Max starting from, you know, 10 places back on the grid. So were we going to watch, you know, like last year where Max just zip-zop-zips to the very front, which we didn't see. I mean, he did zip-zop-zip to the front, but not to the very front of the pack. I thought like that was super interesting. I mean, you know, so happy that Charles Leclerc started at the front. He didn't finish that way, but you know, whatever, it's fine. I think he knew that was going to be the case too. You know, he is the king of qualies. Yes. But I just thought it was so interesting. Like, were the McLarens going to get to the top? Was it going to be the Mercedes? Like, who was going to catch who? I loved it. There's a lot of passing. There's a lot of like, there wasn't so much wheel to wheel racing because Spa does have nice corners that allow for overtaking. So I don't know. I give this race an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that you loved it. I mean, I don't know. I think I was just expecting, I wanted more wheel to wheel combat, but I did appreciate the strategy behind, you know, the tire management and how everybody really worked together to bring their team home. Hell, until good old Mark.
Let's talk about George Russell calling an audible too. Also, that was like the team radios were super compelling because they were like, here's what we're thinking about doing. Like, which strategy do you, we were getting a lot of like, which are you going with, A, B, or C? Yeah. I feel like we heard that from McLaren a couple times. You know, Lewis had his issues where he was kind of mad with the team with their tire management strategy, obviously ended up working out for him. George calling an audible and being like, no, we ride. Like, we ride at dawn to the end.
we can get these tires and you're like, okay.
Which I thought that he was like, we were going to have like a full tire meltdown by the end. So that also was super compelling. Like there's 10 laps left. Is he going to make it? Like, you know?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, it did get a little squirrely at the end. And I really thought like the Hamilton Russell chase, you know, and sometimes this happens where Hamilton like looks like he's going to take somebody down. And if he had two more laps, he definitely would. I thought for sure he was going to be, you know, tracking George to take him down. But I was like, I don't know if he can. I don't know. And I was getting real nervous that Piastri was going to try to.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, oh my, he only needed another lap too.
And he only, I was going to say,
crush it.
Three more laps and the podium would have been totally different.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Three more laps and it would have been like Piastri, maybe Lewis, Max, or like, cause Max was grinding too. Like he was right on the heels of Charles Leclerc. Like that whole, there was like the front three pack and the second three pack. And that would have been a whole jumble.
Yeah.
From there, George would have finished fifth. Like they predicted, cause they were predicting a fifth place finish, whether he pitted or stayed on those tires. And I think like two more laps and that's where he would have probably ended up.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. But that's not what we got.
No, that's not what we got.
We got George finishing in first. We got Lewis coming in second. We got Piastri in third. And it, you know, I didn't hate it. I was like, wow, you know, a Merc 1-2, go George, way to get in there. You know, he didn't say anything really stupid on the radio, which, you know, he tends to do when he gets excited. I get that. But he kept it together. And I was like, oh.
He didn't keep it together. He was so excited.
He was excited, but he didn't give us a yabba dabba do.
Oh, no. I know. I wish he had. It would have been a perfect. I mean, the pure, he was one, so proud of himself. Like, he was patting himself on the back for his strategy. He was like saying it was for the team, but he was so proud of himself. He was so jubilant. He could not have been happier. So when the rule book just beat him down, I feel broken for him.
And I'm not the biggest George Russell fan, but my
heart. And you do love a rule book.
I love a rule book. Article 4.1 really stuck it to George this time. I was like, oh God, this isn't good. But my heart did break for him because he really did. I thought he deserved that win. I honestly did.
He 100% deserved it.
And he just got dicked over by Mercedes this weekend. And I feel bad for him about that.
Did you read about or see anything online about one of the reasons why they think this happened? About how at the end of the race, you're usually supposed to go around the track and get more of the tire grit, mm-hmm. like onto your tire so that it's heavier. And because of where the placement is of the pit lane in Spa being so close to the end.
Yeah. There's no cool down
finish line. There's no like cool down. And so he didn't have enough time to get like the grit on his tire to make it weigh more. Yeah. That is also like crazy. It could have only happened here.
Exactly. And that's what it's like. This is where this sport, you think it can be cut and dry, and then you're like, just kidding. You can lose a race because your car is underweight by 1.5 kilograms or some baloney.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's wild.
Are you really kidding me? Like, it is insane to me that that is even a thing. You're like,
yeah. That's like where you learn new stuff all the time. I mean, we've been like very actively watching, learning, participating in the sport for what, like 4 years now, three or four years. And when I originally saw that, I was like, what a huge mistake by the Mercedes, like the yeah. garage, like how could this happen? And then when I saw that explanation about how they're just supposed to pick up more stuff on their tires to make the car weigh more at the end, I was like, wait, what? Like, yeah. that's one of those things that I would have never expected yeah. that also to be the solution to this problem.
Not at all. I don't think we've ever encountered that in watching this sport.
No.
They certainly never talked about that on Netflix, I'll tell you that. Like,
no. No. And I think that I saw some, maybe I was like looking through my news and notes, but somewhere it was like, this has never, I don't think I chose to talk about it because we're going to talk about it, you know, ad nauseum, but that this has never, like, it's happened, but it's like never happened in recent times. Like, it's a total anomaly, man. And if, geez, I mean, also going into your summer break, what a, just a buzzkill.
Oh gosh. That poor guy. I mean, listen, poor George. I'm sorry, friend. I'm really sorry. I really thought you deserved that. I also thought it felt a little icky to me that Toto wasn't at the celebration. Like, he's FaceTiming Susie from the garage. And I'm like, what? Why?
Also, did you notice when they cut to him after George won? He like normally, like when Lewis was doing Lewis shit, like back in the day, like he was giving big fist pumps. Yes. He was giving like flexing on the hose. He was high fiving. Like, he was just kind of sat there and did his like evil Grinch like yeah. smirk. It wasn't even, I would not call it a smile. It was a smirk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you just finished 1-2 for the first time. In forever, for the first time in forever. Like, why are you not happier?
I thought the same thing, Danielle. I was very perplexed, and it was just odd to me. Like, you know, why not just be there to congratulate? And you know, George is his boy. Like, that is his goat dog. Love this kid. And he's just sitting in the garage.
Also, George is desperate for Toto's love and affection.
Needs him to be the dad that he doesn't have, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's
weird. Yeah, I don't know the dynamics, but I do know that George, it feels like he really wants Toto's love and approval. Yes. So why was he not, you know, it there in the high five line?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, was Toto
in his tummy hurt?
Like, I kind of
did he know
he could have this race?
And oh,
this,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Or like, was he mad that, like, George called his own audible and, like, kind of went against what the team plans were and then, like, kind of trumped him because he worked out?
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, I'm the captain now, so listen to me.
Yeah.
For George. I don't know. I really don't.
I did think it was weird, and they showed that cut to Toto a couple times. Like, I feel like they showed the replay of it, and it was just so... It was kind of like as if he'd come in fourth place.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it really was. It didn't feel like he was very happy about a 1-2 Merck.
A 1-2.
He's had a 1-2 Merck.
No, match. Been like 3 years or something with it.
Yeah. I'm like, huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was super strange. And especially because George is the future.
Yeah.
Like, George is the boy. He's the chosen one. He's the eldest boy now. Like,
this is it.
Like, he's the one you picked, so why are you not? And Lewis calls his, like, you know, calls his shot all the time. Not as much lately, but, like, we've seen historically Lewis be like, this is what I want to do. Sometimes right. He meanders to the team's orders, but a lot of times they're like, what do you think, Lewis? And he's like, these are my thoughts. This is what I want to do.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't love this.
Also, he looked kind of sloppy FaceTiming her too. Like, he was kind of sprawled out. It was giving weird vibes.
It was weird. The whole thing was just off.
Like, you take like a muscle relaxer before or something and just was kind of like not with it. I don't know. It felt strange.
It did feel strange. I felt the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I love this. And you know, I love Toto. Like, Toto is my boy.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, I thought it was strange too. Also, I mean, Lewis was kind of mad. I mean, for like a team that finished 1-2, there was a lot of like bad vibes post-race for them.
Because, I mean, I obviously didn't listen to like, you know, the Sky Sports, like the, I didn't have the
bad interviews.
So like, I didn't get all of the radio that was going on, but what radio did we miss from Merck?
Yeah.
Like, what did we miss? Because they were not all on the same. And they
no.
Lewis was pissed when he got out of that car. I mean, he congratulated George, but it was like, this is fucking bullshit and you know it. And we are all
yeah.
like, same, agreed. But also congrats, George.
Yeah.
But it just fell off. Like, the whole Merck garage fell off this race.
Yeah. And once again, we got like a like awkward post the awkward cool down room. Just so quiet. Like, they left the camera on so long without anyone from Sky Sports talking. I think they kept anticipating someone was going to say something and they were just not talking.
No. I mean, but here's also, okay.
But I don't think George, like, there's no, I don't think there's any, I don't say that because I think there's any animosity between Lewis Hamilton and Oscar Piastri. And because it was when they were just in there together, I think they were just legitimately cooling down. But yeah. I was like, hey guys, could you guys talk over this? Because you're making us all uncomfy just watching them, you know, towel down and ignore each other.
Exactly. And you know, I love Oscar, but like, he's not going to be the one that gives you the commentary.
No.
Race. Like, that's not his lane. That's not.
No.
Like, he's a quiet king that comes later, but like, not like this. Like, this is
or
not.
Or he's like a, you say something and I give a little funny, like in he's aside.
Not comedian. No.
No, he's not leading the convo. He's also so young. Like, he's not been, I think he's exceptionally, like, well media trained, but he's not as comfortable, obviously, as the rest of them are.
Yeah.
Or, like, as just DJF as Max is.
It's time for us to box box. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Z Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RadioDYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Looking for a place for some of the best beer and liquor deals in town? Frankfort Avenue Liquors has you covered. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, to catch some of the best live local music, Frankfort Avenue Liquors also has a full-service bar with some award-winning bartenders, some of the best drinks you'll find in town. Frankfort Avenue Liquors, as the name says, off of Frankfort Avenue. Check them out today.
Okay, speaking of PGA effing. Oh, man, they do not care about Checo. I mean, apparently they do because they're going to keep him, and we'll talk about that. But, God, Checo sucks.
Yeah, like, it's bad. Like,
he started in second place in a Red Bull.
Like, they were like, this is your chance. This is your chance to do something great. What are you going to do? And he's like,
come in seventh or whatever, eighth, wherever he finished. Oh. And there's like, they all talked about how if you can get past, like, that the, you know, that there's a specific, the second turn or whatever is the easiest one to pass. And that usually if you start in first, you're not going to finish the lap in first. And like, Charles didn't, this wasn't Charles's best race, but I don't think Charles, the Ferrari, I think knew their car was not, you know, cut out for the podium maybe on this one, or was not, they weren't going for, I don't think, first place on this, but he was totally fine. Like, he, you know, it ended up being like a strategy, timing, you know, just falling behind for the longevity of the race for Ferrari. It wasn't because the Red Bull, like, Checo didn't Checo him.
Wasn't creating this like obstacle of nobody can get past me type mentality. It's just, he didn't, wasn't driving the car. Like, it was embarrassing. It's like, what is happening over there?
And if Max had been started against Charles, he would have taken him in 2 seconds. And, you know, I fall on the sword for Charles, but he would have surrendered the position probably pretty quickly.
Agreed. I agree with you on this. And I do think it's like, I don't know. Like, what are they doing over there? Like, why are they trying to.
But I don't even know if it's, is it him? Because like, he drove kind of like shit.
I don't know.
So like, now I'm kind of, I don't know. I'm like, is it the car or is he bad? Like, what's happening?
I don't know.
Because I don't think he drove particularly well.
He hasn't driven well all season.
No. Maybe the first few races, maybe the first three races.
Maybe.
The first three races, I think he did, you know, pretty well. Red Bull asserted its dominance early. We've all forgotten about it because it was so long ago.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know what it, I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Helmut Marko doesn't either, obviously.
No, I don't either. I mean, I think this has to just be like a legal, like, contract. But also, okay, we're getting bunchy over here, but like, if they were going to get rid of Checo, who are they going to put in his place?
I mean, Daniel Ricciardo, that was the whole thing.
Lawson,
did you see all that?
We've seen all these like conversations and whatnot, but like, is that the, I don't think that that's the right replacement either. So
no. So I think that's what they all decided. Cause I have some news and notes on it. They have confirmed that, you know, if we can just jump into that, Perez to remain with Red Bull after crunch talks in a Monday meeting, which we knew that there was this Monday meeting happening yesterday. In a Monday meeting, Red Bull has decided against replacing Sergio Perez during the summer break. He will remain Max Verstappen's Formula One teammate after the summer break. Autosport understands the Mexican's Red Bull future was one of the topics discussed on Monday in a meeting of the team's management, including team principal Christian Horner and advisor Helmut Marko, a.k.a. the Puppet Master. While there has been no official outcome of its team meeting, Autosport understands Horner has addressed the team's staff at the Milton Keynes factory. Saint Perez will be in the car when the 2024 season resumes with the Dutch Grand Prix at the end of August. So they have essentially said he's staying in the car and that Daniel Ricciardo is staying in the RB. You know, there was those pictures of Horner and Ricciardo looking, you know, Ricciardo looking happy.
All chummy, chummy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
But alas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to keep him. I mean, much to, I'm sure, Helmut Marko's dismay.
Yeah.
Wow. He had some burns on him, too. Like, I mean, some of the things he said, I'm going to pull it up to find that one. Oh, did it already disappear from our stories? But, like, he basically was like, he sucks. And I hate him.
Yeah, he pretty much does. He pretty much does. There's got to be the money in the contract that keeps him here. Like, it's the only explanation. Because it's not his driving. It's
no
ability to create magic in this Red Bull. I mean, he's cost us millions of dollars at this point because of the crashes and because of, like, the – I mean – are they losing money and lack of sponsorship? Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like,
I don't understand it.
How he's getting to stay, especially with the amount or like the lack of support that he, it seems.
Oh,
that he
it's has. Not, it's not that there's a lack, it seems there's a lack of support. I mean, team advisor Helmut Marko is just out in the media blasting him. At every opportunity he gets, he's across a room and he hears someone mention Checo and he's just yelling like, he sucks, we hate him. I mean, like, the man does not miss an opportunity to blast him.
Agreed. I mean,
I mean, just like, it makes me feel bad, and I have no sort of like allegiance to Checo, and they just are like just berating him.
Do you think he's gonna get a seat next year anywhere?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't. I don't know. His contract is with Red Bull through next year, but obviously they're not gonna.
Yeah,
I mean, that right.
More, but I don't foresee him getting a seat 25.
I don't either. I mean, Christian Horner's out here saying the priority is to support Checo, but like, yes. Is it?
It doesn't feel that way. It feels the opposite of that.
Like, I mean, and he's out here saying like, it's not like I've forgotten how to drive, but Helmut Marko's like, but maybe you have. Maybe you have. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's so bizarre. Also, I just came across this photo of George crying after he's disqualified, and I am so sad.
So sad. It's so sad.
So sad. Sorry, George.
Oof. Well, let's wrap up this GP because we had George come in first, Lewis second, and then Piastri third, and then obviously George gets his victory taken away. And then that promotes Lewis to first. Piastri to second.
And
Leclerc.
Sweet Charles Leclerc to third. We'll take it. We'll take the points anyway. We can get them, guys. We'll take them.
Okay, so I had this question, and then it was funny because Mercedes, like, completely answered it for me in their, you know, the way that they only can. I was like, does Lewis have to give, like, or does George have to give Lewis the first place
trophy? Yeah, 100%.
And then I was like, well, who has, like, does Lewis have to go and give, like, Oscar?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, some Mercedes minion takes it.
Well, that's, yes, because the admin being, like, the admin of admins that Merc is, there's a video of, like, him, like, taking the trophy, like, out the, you know, the Merc garage to the motorhome of McLaren, and then, like, there's somebody at McLaren that meets him to, like, take the second place trophy, and I was like, oh, okay, so that's how they take the trophy. Like,
oh my god, it should have been a three-parter, and they should have had the McLaren one take it down to the Ferrari one and, like, have them open it. It could have been, like, a whole little...
Yeah.
Because I do like the collaboration on social media between the teams and stuff like that. Like, they do a really good job with all of that.
Yeah. The more they integrate it, the better it is.
The more interaction, like, the more fun. And I think that's one of the things that's so fun about Formula One that's different from other sports, too, is the way the teams interact in that way. So that's not about this wrapping up this race.
Yeah.
So to wrap it up, driver of the day and P1.
Driver. Okay. My driver of the day is going to Sir Lewis Hamilton.
No.
Yes. Because honestly, he drove great. I didn't hate it. He did amazing. I was like, hey, Lewis, good job. I'm glad you won. Sorry about it, George, but I'm actually really happy that Mr. Lewis Hamilton got his 205th podium. So I'm okay with it. So that
205th. I thought it was his 201st.
And I think it's 205th.
But I thought they said that it was last time was his 200th podium.
No, he's had 200 a while ago. 200 happened like 2 years ago. It's been a minute since he got. I'll double check this. Hold on. Now you're making me.
I don't mean to. I was just wondering. I thought that that was like the whole thing of last week when they were like Lewis having dinner with every driver that has stood on 200 podiums in F1. You know, and it was the empty dinner table.
Yeah, but I feel, oh, 201. Okay, you're right.
Yeah. Oh. Look at me knowing about Lewis. Look at me.
I got, okay, I'm sorry. 105 victory. That's where my five came from. So sorry. Podium is 201. My bad.
Yeah, because it was the whole thing last week that it was his 200th podium.
That's okay. So very happy for Lewis about that. So he gets my driver of the day. My P1 is going to go... I'm going to give it to Oscar for having a great race and for really just driving.
Oscar's really doing it.
He really is. He's driving the shit out of that McLaren and I'm here for it. Like, I just want the good things to happen to him and I'm here for it.
So. Well, my driver of the day is George Russell because justice for George Russell. I know you hate him, but God, that is sad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little heartbroken for him, especially now after I've seen that photo. I hadn't seen the one where he's just solo crying. Also, I think we should not take so many photos of people when they're crying because that's dark. Like, I don't feel like I should have seen that. Like, I just saw this picture and thought, that wasn't for me to see. That wasn't for us to share. That was for his sadness and his sadness alone.
Yeah.
Or maybe like his family, but like, we don't, that didn't need to be public consumption. And I feel gross having seen it. So George Russell, driver of the day. I mean, called the audible, did it, like did the damn thing, made the most of it. Came up a little short, but man, oh man, he really did it.
He tried.
He did. And my P1 goes to, you know what? I don't even care. I was going to say McLaren, but screw them. My P1 goes to sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc for getting it back together. I mean, he's never lost it. They've never gone off the, you know, off the grid. He's been a slow and steady wins the race kind of guy, you know, all season. But I was happy to see him back on top in qualifying, like where he belongs on Saturdays. Obviously, Max qualified ahead of him and, you know, took the grid penalty. But I like him back in a 1-2. I like him vying for the top of the, even if he's not going to stay very long. I like him up there on my Saturdays. I love watching him on the last, on the Q3.
Yeah, he did great. I also have a complaint.
About what? About how slow the Ferrari pit stop was that really ruined his race?
Honestly,
yeah.
I thought Ferrari was on fire at the beginning of the season with these pits. Like, they were giving us fire pit after fire pit. I'm like, these are amazing. What happened?
I don't know. They couldn't even tell when they watched it. They're like, I think it's something on the back right tire, like a lug nut. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people in the pits, Oscar Piastri trying to take down that front like wingman. I'm like, oh my God.
Second or third time he's done that.
I was like, that. I mean, that guy was visibly shaken. And like, I mean, he has the full like momentum of that car coming forward to him. Oscar's coming in flying at him. And I'm like, oh God. That was hard to watch.
He said something about it in his post race. Like, oh, I'm going to try and figure out how to do that better. I'm like, yeah, we're going to have to.
That would be ideal.
Yeah. It seems like we need to figure that one out.
Yeah. I was like, oh God, Oscar, that's not good.
Yeah, but I'm happy to see Ferrari has figured out whatever woes that we've been going through in the last few races post-Monaco. I feel like we're, I think we're going into the break in a good place.
Yeah.
Especially now that, you know, we've figured out where our little baby Carlos is heading.
Oh, thanks.
Sending him out into the world.
Carlos signs.
With signs.
This is great. I mean, thank goodness we have a decision. He's made us all so happy just by letting us know, because then now I feel like the chips can fall where they may.
Yeah. Silly season can really start. Yes. I would like to read a little bit from this Athletic article about why he's going to Williams, which we predicted this. We kind of saw this coming. And I think that it's a real testament to what James Vowles is doing over at Williams. And I think to get the Sainz family to, because obviously this is a Sainz family decision. We know that Carlos is doing this with dad. Yeah. We got cousin Carlos in the mix. Like, this is a Sainz, a racing family decision. And so I think for like James to have really won over the Sainz crew, racing dynasty, you know, per se, maybe, is a big win for them.
That's a good like, point.
Hold on a sec. So let me read. Carlos Sainz wasn't kidding when he said in Belgium that he didn't want to talk about his Formula One future anymore. Well, same, Carlos. None of us did. We were all, frankly, tired of it. Not even 24 hours after the checkered flag at Spa marked the start of F1 summer break, he ended the six-month rigmarole surrounding his next move by announcing he would join Williams for 2025. It's rare for an F1 driver to have their pick of seats in the way Sainz did for next year. After he lost his 2025 Ferrari drive to Lewis Hamilton, it gradually became clear that neither Red Bull nor Mercedes seriously considered him as a fix for their driver puzzles, even if he was by far the most qualified candidate, which that's another discussion, but I think we've, you know, hit on that. But this whole thing talks about why Sainz bought into Vowles' vision for it. And Williams initially seemed like an outlier option for Sainz, given that it wasn't a works team with the backing of a car manufacturer and was very much still in the rebuilding phase. But as the Spaniard and his management explored all options, Vowles' plans became increasingly attractive. Vowles has been vocal about his focus on 2026. So Carlos is in the, like, for the long haul in this. When F1's technical regulations will be overhauled. To him, that is the year when the foundations being laid right now can translate to strong performance on the track. Moreover, there is no pressure on Vowles from the team owner, Doralton Capital, to turn things around instantly. They are all committed to the long game, overtaking shortcuts to appease the here and now. So I'm like, I'm kind of into this, like, the resurgence of Williams under this, like, Vowles signs kind of combo.
I am too. And you know, I love Carlos and I love Alex. I love that I'm going to have them at the same team. Not that I, you know, did this, but in the plant voodoo world of Shannon Kessler, Alex Albon is right next to Carlos Sainz in
the
like where they sit, and they've been together for the last couple months. So I think maybe my plants have helped Carlos make a decision.
Well, I believe in your plant voodoo. I support your plant voodoo. Another thing that they mentioned is that right now, so when Vowles joined the team, the headcount was around 700 people at Williams.
Okay.
It's now over 1,000. So, like, there's an influx of cash and capital and people, like manpower.
Yes.
The team recently announced 26 new hires, including staff from Ferrari, Mercedes, and Alpine. So, I mean, like, they're making moves about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that he got him to buy into the vision.
Yes.
And I think that this is exciting about what could happen in the future with them.
I agree. I mean, I haven't looked into, like, what the 2026 regulations are, you know, gearing up to myself, but I am very interested in knowing that's going to, like, how that is going to change the sport. Cause it does seem like a lot of teams or a lot of drivers are in question of, like, okay, well, in 2026, are we all starting from the same, like, platform? Like who's going to have the advantage in 26? Or are they really all starting kind of at the same level in 26? I don't know. Cause I think that was, like, a question that I kept hearing circulating around, like, Max Verstappen, like, he wants to know what the 26 regulations are, because that,
yeah,
you know, make it more interesting for him to go to Mercedes versus staying at Red Bull.
Right.
So it's interesting because I haven't really dug too far into that, but I don't know if that's been, if they've released that either. So
I saw some article about it, but I haven't really like read much into it yet about what, like some regulations that are not going to change and like for 2025. And I don't know. So we need to like, maybe that's a summer break episode.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I feel like that's something we need to kind of figure out of like, what's happening. But we're going to get like, that's when we saw returns to Audi. That's, you know, everything changes in 2026.
Yes, it does. Everything does change.
One thing that's not going to change, Max Verstappen's late night gaming.
Oh.
He said, lay off of me. I'm going to freaking game if I want a game. And he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. And I like this article that basically said, no one should ask Max Verstappen to stop late night gaming. Let the F1 champion sim race as much as he wants. It's by, it's from like Polygon. It's a like European site, but I have one thing in common with Formula One champion Max Verstappen. We both stay up way too late playing video games. and he basically was just like, talks about how we need to let Max game if he wants to game. And Max has basically said, like, I'm gaming. Don't try and stop me. Like, I can't stop, won't stop on the sim. Like, he once again stayed up too late and hit the sims. And he told people after, you know, qualifying first, that he's like, fuck off. He said, fuck off. Right. I'm going to game. Stop asking me about it.
Okay. You know, you're putting your car where it needs to be. You're putting up points. At this point, your job isn't in jeopardy at Red Bull. You kind of control everything over there anyway. You're going to do what you want to do. You know, it's just Max Verstappen.
And also, like, Max is like, I stayed up all night. I got 45 minutes of sleep and I still will qualify first and come from the back and, you know, get into the, and qualify and finish, not qualify, finish ahead of my teammate who started on the front line. Like, so if I want to, I mean, I don't know how much sleep he got on Saturday night, but I'm just saying, he's like, if I want to swim until 5 a.m. and then get up, like get a nap in and get up and race and I can still do this, lay off me.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
He said, I do what I want.
We didn't get Max Verstappen. Cranky Max radio, but there's always next time.
I think maybe there was, and we just like weren't even really a party to it because he wasn't like super involved in this race.
Yeah. I did see some, I think it might've been Christian. I don't know. Somebody in the Red Bull PR world that was like, we need to get rid of, you know, letting everybody hear our radio. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Don't no.
Away from the people. We need this.
And did you hear that someone said that they like the F1 talked to the drivers about like cursing too much on their radios or whatever?
Well, we've heard that before because of Yuki. Like,
yeah,
he's popped off plenty of times. But I also think like it's sports. It's like there's
it's
a lot
sports.
Of, like you're just like it's just coming out. I mean, it's just I don't know. I'm not offended. Like if you're that offended, like Max says, turn it off. Like don't listen.
Oh, 100%. And also, like, if we mic'd up when they do mic up NFL players, like, they're cursing. Like, if you mic'd up any sport, I can't imagine what they probably say in hockey when they're, like, pounding each other's faces in. Like, it's a sport. Like,
they're gonna be heated.
In the heat of competition. And again, if you're offended by somebody, like, cursing every once in a while, then
probably not your sport.
Yeah, and also they're not like gratuitous with playing it, I think, on coverage.
Yeah, and they do apologize. I mean, because sometimes there are things that slip through, and they're like, "I'm sorry, if you heard that."
Yeah,
does it reflect the whatever of Sky Sports? And you're like, "Oops."
Yeah, but you're like, "Oh, well, they just like went to a hot radio, and you know, didn't have enough time to really, you know, get through that." So, I got one more news and note. On our favorite selfie king.
Otmar?
Yes. Former Alpine boss. I'm not even going to try and butcher his last name right now because I don't have it in me to try. Involved in new US F1 project. Former Alpine team principal Otmar Szafauer. Yeah, God, I'm sorry. has revealed that he is involved in a project with American investors to evaluate entering an 11th team in Formula One. So apparently he's decided to go head to head with Mario Andretti, who keeps getting shot down. Let that man into Formula One. Having huge experience in F1 through his involvement with the Bar, Honda, Force India, and finally Alpine teams, he is evaluating fresh opportunities to return to Grand Prix racing once his period of gardening leave ends. Love that little comment from motorsport.com. In the meantime, he has been working on a new itinerary management app called Event R, which is being used in F1 and other motor racing series. But he did, he said, he's speaking to a podcast, James Allen's F1 podcast. I'm a competitor, and the one thing that I like more than anything is the competition. So to come back in a role where I can't influence how well the team is competing, I don't think I'd be interested. If it was a role where I could help develop, build, attract the right people to improve a team competitiveness, I'd be interested. But, you know, there's only 10 teams. A lot of them have people in those roles already, so I don't know how many opportunities there are out there. But there's also the 11th and 12th team possibility, so that might be something that would be interesting for me. I've been working with some organizations in North America that have the funding to start an 11th team. It's not Andretti. Now we're just putting some of those building blocks in place to make sure that we have everything that's required in order to be successful to both start a team, but also get an entry. So that's interesting too. So he basically said, Mario, you're not good at this. I'm coming for you. 11th team.
Like, sit down. Let me try.
So yeah.
Paying off.
He kind of just snuck it in there too in this interview. I think it's interesting. He's like, oh, I'm kind of like doing some stuff. I got this app, blah, blah, blah. Also trying to get an 11th team on the grid. You're like, huh? Halt, what? Who?
What are you talking about?
Who's the investors? Tell us more.
Yeah, I'm going to need to know who's on this team.
So yeah, it is, like it says, it's unclear who the American investors Otmar is linked to are, but F1 is undergoing a huge boom of interest in the country. So who knows? But he's out there turning over rocks, trying to, he's like, if no one will hire me, we will just start
our own team. Don't worry about it.
And Mario Andretti is just like, Jesus Christ, if this guy gets in before me, I'm gonna be pissed. Poor Mario. Like, the man is out there just trying to do the most to get on the grid, and they're just like, nope. Yeah.
Mario needs to make a Mario Kart F1 circuit in the States and like let that be his like legacy.
Honestly, he should totally just start like a Mario Kart go-kart like experience, you know, like a Top Golf, but go-karting, and it's called
in Florida for that kind of stuff. Come on, just get in there and make your kart happen. Come on, Mario Kart Kingdom, let's go.
In conjunction with Nintendo and Andretti Racing, Mario Kart. I think we just came up with an amazing business idea, so make it happen.
I feel like we might have nailed that. Like, it's gonna be
Rainbow Road is gonna be the best one, like, obviously, but perilous. But it's so fun. So yeah, those are my major news and notes for the week. Yeah, it's all happening, and I'm sure that there's gonna be a lot more news and notes coming out, you know, by the moment as we enter silly season.
As it does, like, this is what I love about silly season, is because we, you know, we expect to see drivers on yachts, on a beach, Mai Tais, having the best life.
The best.
Curious, loving. We love to see a summer break moment, but we also love the summer tea of what we're about to get into. So F1, don't forget.
I need all your beautiful yachts. I need all your beautiful wags. I need chic. I need fancy. I need the best of the best. I want surfing. I want beaches. I want beautiful cocktails, everything of the sort. But I also want high drama.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to get F1 drivers at the Olympics? Like watching?
Oh, yeah. I bet if Nadal, which they probably will, if the Nadal Caraz, is that what they're calling them? Yeah. Make it to the finals. I could see a Carlos sighting.
Yeah, or Fernando. Fernando.
But I feel like Carlos is kind of boys with them.
He does kind of fit the mold. Like, he looks a lot like them.
And I feel like he's gone to some of their stuff before. I could also, you know,
George loves tennis.
I could also see Pierre at basketball. He loves
basketball.
Loves basketball.
Tony Parker, good friends.
Yeah, good buddies. Friends. I could see him at those French basketball games.
I could see them at rugby too. Like,
are they into rugby?
Yeah. Have you not watched 7-minute rugby? Like, this is exciting.
I've watched some of the women's rugby because that one Ilona Marr is like all over my Instagram.
Incredible.
She's like a social media star. I also could see, obviously, at football, you know, at the soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, loving beach volleyball. I feel like they would all, like, this is a very summer.
It's a hard ticket to get to the beach volleyball.
It's a good one. But yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Like, if we're going to make a little bingo card, I want to see F1 drivers at Olympics.
At the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we definitely are going to get a Pierre Olympic spotting.
Yeah, he's so sporty.
He's so sporty. And like, it's in his, you know, it's in his own country. He must. And Charles has already has his Olympic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Snoop is getting a lot of, you know, love, as well deserved, with his glasses on, like with his Olympic glasses. But like, come on, we all know that, you know, Charles did it first. Charles was iconic in the Olympic glasses. So
he is iconic.
He's an icon of sport, of world sport. Yeah, I'm super into the Olympics right now. Loving all things Olympics.
That's great. I love it.
Also, this is not F1 related at all, but I do also love that they're like patrons of certain teams. And I'm obsessed with Flavor Flav finding out that the women's water polo team was like working extra jobs and like they couldn't afford to just train. And then he was like, nah, girls, I got you.
Yeah.
And he's like sponsored a team. And shout out to Ashley Johnson, the goalkeeper who went to my high school. Ransom Everglades. Just, you know, she's fellow alum. I'm gonna claim her. We were not there at the same time, but you know, you gotta love it. It's her fourth Olympics.
It's amazing. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyways, Olympics, love it. Maybe we could do like a little Olympic special episode.
We absolutely can. There's a lot of things I want to cover over break. I want to talk about this whole, like, when you have to start 60 places behind for getting a grid penalty. Like, what the fuck's that about? Like, oh, that's so stupid. Like, when you get a 60 place penalty, like, we just stop
with the, I'm like, is he starting from the back for the next, like, five races?
He's or like something in a different, like, country and has to start his race. So I'm like, could we pump the brakes on these, like, grid penalties? I want to talk about the difference between, like, money value that you get in the constructors, like why it's going to be so important that
it's huge. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Ferrari beats out Mercedes, like all of that kind of stuff. These contracts, I think, again, going back to Checo, I think could be very interesting to keep talking about why this makes it so hard for people to move players around in F1. But and then we'll do some fun, light, fun Olympic coverage.
I think we should do a little special ep, a little Olympic special episode.
Love it.
Because why not? Yeah. I mean, also, I love swimming, but I've been kind of bored with swimming this year. I'm really into like some of the other Olympic sports, and I cannot wait for track to start. I'm a big track girly.
Love track. That's fun. We have big swimmers in this house, so it is fun to watch. But we joke, it's like watching Max Verstappen sometimes win in a Red Bull. You're like, it's 20 minutes ahead of time, and you're like, and no one else is on the screen yet.
Yeah, I'm at a very Olympic adjacent event right now.
You are.
If I can give a little shout out to my daughter, I'm at the junior nationals, USA diving junior nationals for my daughter, Ree. She's competing. She's more of a sobber at this event than a Red Bull. But you know, you got to start somewhere.
She's there. She made it. She qualified. She's doing great. She's representing. Yeah. You're not. I mean, listen, we weren't doing that.
I was not. And you know, she's got her big event on Thursday. So, you know, 1 meter springboard. We've done 3 meter. So, some of these kids jumping off the platforms is insane. It's like being at a little mini Olympics. You get to just see some really incredible, you know, future Olympic talent.
That's incredible. I'm here for this. I'm here for all of this, you know,
having a sporty weekend. Speaking of sports, yes. You know, being so sporty, we are now a part of the State of Louisville Podcast and Network. And so you can check out all of their shows as well, especially if you are in the, you know, Kentucky area or a Louisville sports fan. They have a lot of Louisville centric sports content, and we are very excited to be a part of their network. And we misspoke on our last episode, and we did not, you know, we're just coming at this as it gets thrown at us. It's like a visor just getting peeled off and thrown into the wind. But our episodes are now available for streaming on the State of Louisville YouTube network. So if you subscribe and like there, you can leave us comments. You can ask questions in the videos and we will answer them on our next episodes if you want. Maybe we can do a little Ask Me Anything video. But yeah. You can now watch us every week. They are posted, you know, almost instantaneously, not quite, but very close.
Yeah, I think I have to edit this out a little bit.
Almost as quick as George Russell is disqualified. They are getting up there. So make sure we will add this link to our Instagram where you can follow us at F1 Push Push, and we will link directly to the State of Louisville YouTube page where you can now watch us in addition to listening to us on any major podcast network. So we're very, wherever you consume podcasts, we're very excited to be a part of the State of Louisville network.
Yes, thanks for having us. We love our new family. We're so great.
It's going to be a fun ride. So yeah, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. We're on YouTube and leave us a review. It would make us happier than Lewis Hamilton ascending to P1 in Spa. And until next time, push, push. For more great Louisville sports content and podcasts, follow the State of Louisville on all social media platforms or visit stateoflouisville.com.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RadioDYW, place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.